You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the Game, yeah, Building the Game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, June 15th, 2015, and you're listening to episode 159. My name is Rob, and sitting across from me is Jason.
That was one of the worst intros ever.
I'm kind of proud of that, honestly.
I wouldn't be.
Well, I was going to say something vulgar, but this is a family show, so. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, long time no see, huh?
It's been a while. You were out of town.
I was out of town. It's been a while since we recorded. We recorded a bunch in advance to prepare for my vacation.
Yeah, gosh, I didn't even think about that, because I've seen you, like, you were only gone for like a week, but because it was a recording week, it's been like to record two shows ahead of time.
3 weeks since we actually sat down here, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, and in the interim, there was basically no news. Origins happened.
So basically no news.
Yeah, well, it looks like everybody had a good time. I'm sorry I missed it.
I was watching people tweet about things they were doing there made me want to at least be there to see the people.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, Origins doesn't really excite me, but seeing the people does.
So, that's what I miss about it, is hanging out with good people.
In my opinion, Origins is a poorly run convention. In the middle of Ohio.
Yeah.
It's actually the southern middle of Ohio, but still.
Yeah. So when we went in 2014, we stood in that god-awful line. And this year, apparently, there was a terrible line for exhibitors.
For exhibitors.
Yeah.
The people that you certainly want to screw over.
That spent a lot of money to be there.
And have a lot of stuff to do to get ready to make your show successful.
Yeah.
So, way to go, Origins. We applaud you. It's pretty impressive. Yeah. I mean, it's not Biff in the Hotels, but it's still pretty good.
It's still pretty good, yeah. So what
if anyone who does, or like who helps run Origins, listens to this, feel free. We'd love to have you on the show. You're welcome to come on the show, and we will
talk about it.
Talk about how terrible your stuff is. So.
Well, we'll give you the opportunity to explain to us
why
we should stop being so critical. It's a friendly, open invitation
for an honest, candid, and
collaborative conversation.
Just want to make sure our feelings are up front around the table. At least my feelings.
I mean, yeah.
I just have no patience for stuff like that that's poorly run. You do it every year?
This is like the second or third year you've ever done it.
Get your crap together.
Should have figured it out by now, in my opinion.
I mean, I understand sometimes special things happen in a year that make it harder, but in general...
Yeah, come on.
It's like Gen Con with a housing bit. I mean, you know, get your stuff together, guys. Come on.
For real.
So, anyways, So, you went on vacation. Was that fun?
It was very fun. It was very fun indeed. We went to Florence, Oregon, and we spent a couple of days there with some of my family, and then we drove down the coast to San Francisco. You know, it occurred to me, we know when you say the San Francisco treat, we all know what you're talking about, right?
Rice-a-roni?
Right. There are no rice paddies in San Francisco or the Bay Area.
Yeah, but was rice-a-roni first invented in San Francisco? Not actually rice, but rice-a-roni?
Isn't rice-a-roni just instant rice?
Yeah, but, I mean, instant rice, that's like some magic there.
I just don't get it.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
It was probably packaged in San Francisco.
I spent a lot of time thinking about this after I got home from San Francisco. It occurred to me, and I thought...
You could have Googled it. The answers are there, Rob.
Yeah, that's too easy, man.
Like, I don't even know why scientists do stuff anymore. Why don't they just Google stuff for answers?
What does Google say?
I know what I wanted to talk to you about.
What did you want to talk to me about?
Are you still talking about your vacation?
You're done, so let's move on.
So, dude. The Large Hadron Collider?
Yeah, it started back up, more powerful than ever.
Did you hear what they found today?
Today?
Well, recently.
Well, they found the Higgs boson.
Well, no, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
Okay, keep up.
Okay.
Quantum physics moves fast, Rob. You have a particle collider.
No, I've been working at work instead of reading the news all day like you.
I didn't do this at work,
okay,
to be clear. I actually saw this.
What did they find at the LHC?
Ready? Ready for this?
I'm ready.
They found that the state of a particle in the future affects the state of the particle in the past. They found retrocausality on a quantum scale. They proved it. How crazy is that?
I want to read about that.
Retrocausality, right? Yeah. It's the thing that I always hoped would be real someday.
Yeah.
Turns out it is.
Future affects the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Retrocausality is the idea that things you do in the future affect things that happened in the past.
Yeah. And then we're talking about a quantum scale, so we're talking fractions of a nanosecond kind of stuff, but...
But still...
Still. I need to read up on that. That's cool.
I only saw one little news story about it, which shocked me, because last time they found something, it was like, but I think it's because they spent like 4 years telling us that Higgs boson was going to be the amazing, and then they found it.
They found it like day one.
Yeah, they were like, well, we found it.
I guess we spent all this money and we're done now.
So they were like, we should find some other stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, let's prove retrocausality. Uh-huh. And I was like,
done. What's next?
And they're like, what's next? We should think of some sweet stuff.
Yeah.
I want to learn how to fly.
They need to solve the human flight.
Invisibility.
Unaided human flight. Yes. Invisibility, sure.
Telekinesis, come on.
Oh, man. ESP.
Actually, telekinesis, what's funny about that is, like, so telekinesis is the idea that you can, like, I could use my mind to affect something outside of my mind. Physically. Which is kind of like... entangled particle or quantum entanglement, right? Where if you could have a quantum molecule on one side of the universe and one on the opposite side of the universe, so they could be gajillions of light years apart.
And scientific term there.
Yeah, gajillions. Yeah. And when one of those flips from on to off, say, the other one matches its state immediately.
Oh, wow.
Faster than the speed of light.
I haven't read about that either.
You should read some stuff, man.
Look, what's that Brian Greene book that... his main one. He's got three or four.
Yeah, he's like, don't know much about physics or something.
Yeah, well, but there was like...
Physics for stupid people?
No. There was like...
That's basically what it is, though, right?
No, actually, I mean, it's pretty... It's accessible physics, you know, for the layman, he would say, not for stupid people. I'm not saying I'm a smart guy.
That's the book I would need to read. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not stupid.
I don't know. It's killing me now. It's going to bother the crap out of me. But anyway, Brian Greene, he wrote... Like, the thing is, it's not for stupid people, his books are like physics for the layman, and it's mostly string theory stuff for the layman.
Right.
But even his books are still a little bit much for me.
I know there was an episode of The Big Bang Theory where Sheldon went to like one of his book readings and was mocking him by asking questions.
That sounds right. Yeah. I had a few years of being a physics nerd, even though I'm terrible at math. Wanting to like read and understand the ideas and being fascinated by it, but it was just so much of it was still just a little bit too big for my brain to comprehend.
Yeah.
So,
so good times.
That's tough. That's tough stuff.
Right. Do you want to talk more about your vacation?
No, I don't care. It's fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine. No, you know what though? Hey, imagine this. I played a game.
On your vacation?
No.
No.
So after I got home.
What was it?
It was called Gwent.
Gwent?
G-W-E-N-T.
Okay.
And it's a card game inside The Witcher 3. So it's a game within a game. So Witcher 3, open world RPG game, pretty hot stuff so far. I'm enjoying it. But there's a card game in Witcher 3 called Gwent, and it's kind of a micro game. And it's a little bit fascinating. And I'm terrible at it, but I've only played it like three times. But it's an interesting setup. So it's a two-player game. And it's a virtual game, right? But so anyway, so each player has a deck of cards, and they would shuffle up that deck, and you draw 10 cards from your deck, and that's all you get for the entire game. The rest of your deck goes away.
Okay.
Okay. And then the game is played in three rounds, and you are playing cards down on the table in three different zones, kind of a short range, medium range, and long range zone. It's supposed to represent some kind of a siege or a battle between two armies. And you want, in order to win a round, you need to play cards in each of the ranges, each of the three ranges. And the value of the cards on your side need to be greater than the value of the cards in your opponent's matching range. Okay?
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
So you but the thing is, you play in three rounds, and once you play a card down, you can't get that card back.
Oh, okay. So
if you play all your cards and you just...
That are awesome the first round.
In the first round, and then you get to the second round and you just kind of get a stalemate or you lose and you still give it everything you've got, you have nothing left for that third round and you are just hosed.
I see. And is it best of three then, since you play three rounds?
It's best out of three. And I guess it's possible that you can tie and then you would play again theoretically. Or you know what, I've lost every time, so if I did tie, maybe you would play a fourth round. I don't really know, honestly.
Okay.
But I was very impressed. It's a very simple approach and so on. But you know, and then of course there's special cards that have special card texts that do different powers and things, and you can play you have like leader or I guess maybe they're like captain cards or something that give you like a one time special ability you can use during the game.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's really interesting. I'm real bad at it. Yeah, mute your darn phone. Sorry. Yeah, I'm really bad at it. But as a part of playing The Witcher, you have the opportunity to get new cards by completing quests, or you can go to shopkeepers and things and buy new cards and so on and so forth. So
it's like a full on
CCG within The Witcher 3.
Interesting.
And I think it might have the potential. Again, not a lot of experience with it, and I don't know how robust it is, but it might have the potential to be like a legit CCG that people could play for real. So it was pretty cool. Huh. It was pretty cool. And I really liked the simplicity of the structure. That really impressed me. So I don't know. Maybe some builders out there are further into The Witcher than I am and have played a lot more Gwent, and they can comment better than I can on its robustness.
Yeah, I mean, I like if a video game especially does a mini game,
yeah.
I like when they put a lot into it to make it mm-hmm. worthwhile.
Yeah. And you know, and like there are a lot of virtual card games like Hearthstone and stuff where you couldn't ever really play that game on a tabletop, right? You know, or be really difficult to actually play it on a tabletop. This one is totally just a straight up card game, and nothing about it requires it to be as a part of a video game. It does not at all require the computer for scoring or, you know, status tracking or anything like that.
That's cool,
and I really appreciate that about it.
So do you win like prizes and stuff during it?
Yeah, you can. I'm only about 8 hours into the game, so I'm barely out of the tutorial zone of the game. I am assuming that later on in the game, as you complete quests and things, parts of quests will be to play in a tournament with somebody or play Gwent against somebody in a tavern or something. And if you win or if you lose, it changes the direction of the story is my assumption. But I'm just guessing, haven't gotten there yet.
Right.
And I expect that to happen, which means I need to play a lot more of it so I get good at it and probably try and buy a bunch of cards. So,
right.
Yeah. So Gwent.
Nice.
It's worth checking out. It also feels like the kind of thing that would be really easy for them to just release Gwent as like an iPhone app, as a kind of a companion app or something. I don't know if they're going to do that or not, but it seems like it would make sense to me.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Hey, I think it's time to talk about our feature of the week.
It is. We have a feature that's a little overdue. We're a little behind, but there were some scheduling issues.
We're behind?
No. Yeah. Some scheduling issues and delays, and just our recording schedule, of course, is a mess because I was out on vacation for a little while, so we had to get far ahead. So, entirely our fault. Nevertheless, we have two very kind and generous and patient and wonderful gentlemen back on the show. We have our good pals, Robert and Matt from Penny Press, back on to announce the winner of their contest. Hi, guys.
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
Fantastic.
Thanks for having us back.
Hey, guys.
Our pleasure. Thanks so much for coming back. Before we get to the contest winner and any announcements, I want to ask, Penny Press is out in stores now, right?
Yes, it is. It's on store shelves.
Yeah, how's it been going?
So it's a little bit early to already have sales data, but anecdotal evidence proves that it's going well, beyond expectation, actually.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, the reviews have been really kind.
Awesome, guys.
Had some really nice video reviews, so that's been great.
Yeah, those are always very helpful.
Yeah, sweet. So builders, look for it in your local game store, and if they don't have it, ask for it so they can buy more and more copies, and they can do another print run, and Matt and Robert can make tons and tons of money off of it, right? Isn't that how that works?
I don't know if that's the goal, but you definitely ask for it by name.
Yeah,
for sure. We'll have to check our local game store and ask for it.
Yeah,
and then get it in,
and we'll tell the guy knows there that we or that works there owns it that we know you guys, and that he should give it to us for a discount, and that he should buy like 12 more copies. Yeah,
see what we can do.
Yeah,
we like that plan.
Okay, so. To recap, we had our contest, and that was going for the entire month of May. It was our headline contest, and maybe you guys want to tell us again what the goal of the contest was.
Well, the goal of the contest was to write kind of a funny headline talking about board games or incorporating board games somehow, but in sort of a turn of the century bent. So sort of you feel like you're writing a headline at the turn of the century, but you're bringing in board games in the headline.
And the winner of the contest, the person who sends in your favorite headline, is going to win their own free copy of Penny Press, right?
That's correct, yeah.
We're going to give one away.
Okay. And now, so Jason has compiled all of these. I have not seen, I don't know who sent any of these in, and he organized them and sent them out to you guys also, and you don't know who submitted any of these things.
Right, I stripped all the names off there, so it's just the headlines and the sub headlines.
Yeah.
And just the facts, that's all we got.
That's right.
And we were thrilled with the response that we got. Thanks, builders, for entering the contest. It was super fun. We had a blast reading all of the entries, and thank you so much for entering. So I thought we should probably start, if you guys maybe could each pick your favorite runner-up, because we'll leave it in suspense for the winner.
All right, you want me to go first, Matt?
Please. Yeah.
All right, so my favorite runner-up is, and I have no idea who wrote this, because we don't have the names, but it is famous designer kidnapped by a lost tribe, demanding to be represented as a new tribe in Bruno Cathala's five-tribe board game. Ancient Nicalian tribe kidnaps Bruno Cathala.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
I like that one, but I like five tribes a lot, so yeah, hard to pass that up.
Yeah,
maybe someone knew that and you're trying to win like that.
Yeah, ooh. I feel like the Cathala reference may have been because they thought that pandering. We actually had some voting in here.
Yeah.
Power.
All right, then on to me. My favorite was a punny one. So it says, "Bamboo eating panda punches out champion. Panda comments, take no KO." Sort of a reference to Takenoko.
Yes. that was really clever. Spelled the same way. That was good.
Yeah, I loved that one too. I thought that was super clever, super
that one
smart.
Took some work.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody put some time into that one.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what, Jason, before we announce the winner, do you have the information about who actually submitted those two?
I do, and it's on my phone, which is a great spot for it since we're also in the middle of this hangout. So hold on, let me look, and I can tell you. Now my phone's probably going to buzz because Rob just made me look up the thing. So
while you're looking, can I read another one that I liked a lot?
Yeah.
Here's our runner-up. And it is free parking rule found to be cause of mass riots. Two dead and three injured in Monopoly mayhem.
I love that one, too. Because so many Monopoly games kind of end in chaos like that, right?
I didn't know you could pick multiple favorites.
So the person who submitted the Lost Tribes one about Bruno Cathala was actually Christopher Howard. And Rob's going to tell you guys who the next one is.
Okay, the free parking rule found to be cause of mass riots was submitted by Jonathan. And Jonathan, I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name, but it starts with a B. I hope you're not too upset with me for that one. So thank you very much, Jonathan.
And the take no KO one was Julius Besser. So, and now we've reached the time to announce the winner of the Penny Press contest. Gentlemen.
So here goes. Settlers accused of genocide.
Disappearance of indigenous Cantonese blamed on deforestation mining.
It's a classic. It's a Catan reference, which is great.
And it really sounded like a headline. I mean, that's the kind of headline you would write. And it just, I wonder if that person really has a news background. Because that was good. It was good.
It was great.
That person,
who was it?
That person is none other than our pal Nate Darty.
Congratulations, Nate.
He's been a friend of the show and a friend of ours for quite a while, so which is why we don't vote on these things, because then we have no way to do it. I believe has a degree in political science.
I think
that does fit with the headline.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. Congratulations, Nate. We will get your information over to Matt and Robert, and you guys can hook up how to send him his own copy of Penny Press.
So, sounds good.
And as always, we will not tell Nate ahead of time, so he's finding out right now while the rest of you are.
Yeah. So congratulations again, Nate.
So I'm sure he'll be sending us an email asking us, giving us his contact info. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, Matt and Robert, thanks so much again for coming on the show and doing this contest with us. We really appreciate it. And congratulations again on the success of Penny Press. We couldn't be happier for you.
Thank you, guys. That's so kind.
Yeah. Thanks. It was a pleasure to be back on.
And one last time, I want you to say tell us what's the best way for people to follow you and learn more about Penny Press. How can they find you guys?
Well, we have a Board Game Geek page. We also have a Facebook page, and we have a website at pennypressgames.com.
Fantastic.
Robert, did I miss anything?
I think you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mr. Dokus, and you are at Matt Go Wright.
There you go.
That's
awesome.
Us.
All right. Thanks again, guys. We will we'll talk to you later. Are we going to see you at Gen Con this year?
We unfortunately will not be making it to Gen Con this year. No.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, I got to take the year off. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll have some good times for you.
All right.
All right, let us know.
Catching up another time.
All right, cool. Thanks again. Right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, well, hey, so got rid of those guys. No, I'm just kidding. That was good.
Good riddance.
No, that was fun. It was a good contest. Always like contests. We can give away really good free games.
Yeah.
Doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, guys. I'm jealous of Nate. I actually want that game. And if listeners, if that feels like an awkward cut at all, it's because we recorded those guys and then recorded the rest of the show afterward. So.
All right. So we didn't want them to sit here with your opening banter.
Right. Right.
We could have made them. You know, we could have.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to mute you guys. You just sit here.
You just sit here and you take it. You wait. No.
But we're nice guys, so.
Yeah.
And they're busy guys.
So it's time for you to practice a pitch. And you just said to me before we started that you actually have, like, a for real pitch. I don't know anything about what you're about to pitch.
Yeah.
Completely cold turkey for me.
So this actually happened while you were on vacation, actually.
Oh, okay.
So that's why. I was working on a idea for a 16-card micro game. I was trying to just explore some different ideas with mechanics. One of the things I've been doing recently is, which is just kind of fun, like trying to think about how to use a small amount of cards, right? I will actually take a post-it note. I do this at work a lot of times. That's where I have post-it notes. And I will just like, I'll just quick draw what looks like interesting card layout to me, right? Like X cards in the center, X cards in your hands, and just kind of draw it on there. And then just stick it to my wall and then just go about my work day like normal. But every once in a while, I'll look over it and I'll think, what can I do with that?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do with that? What would be cool with that gameplay?
Tell me what would be cool with that.
So, well, it depends. So, so in this case, what I thought was, okay, we have 16 cards. Now, I want some sort of scoring mechanism. So let's assume a 4-player game. I just took 4 cards right out of there, right? So that gives me 12 cards to work with. So I've got 12 cards to work with. And I've tried before in games to use a grid system, and I've never been able to make it work the way I wanted it to. So I thought, well, let's challenge myself. Let's try and make a grid system work.
Okay.
Like, because with a grid system, you never run out of cards in a deck, right? Because somehow if you're using cards in the grid and they're not going away, then theoretically. So I was trying to pick a theme too. So I said, I want the theme to be carnival games, like actual, you know, like games you'd play at a carnival, but not actual carnival games, just kind of like that setting, right? So what you're doing is you're trying to do things. So I came up with this idea I called right now Carnival Chaos. Funny, it's 2 C's, I know, but
it's a Jason Slingerland signature.
I know. Well, originally it was called Carnival Games and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's too easy.
So Carnival Chaos, maybe it's a good name, maybe it's not. I'm not even going to debate that, but so here's how the base gameplay works. What you're trying to do is you're trying to win the grand prize. Now, some people maybe know from carnivals, a lot of times at carnivals you can win little prizes, and then eventually you can turn all those prizes in for one big, huge prize, right? Like the big stuffed bear. So that's the idea, is you're trying to get the grand prize in this game. So what happens is everybody starts with 0 prizes, but then you have this tracking card that sits in front of you, and the tracking card is split into 4 sections on 2 sides. So basically 2 sections on each side, right? The top section and the bottom section on both sides. Is that making sense so far?
I think so.
Okay, so you've got, and the first one is 1 prize, and there's a drawing of a prize. Second one is 2 prizes, and there's a drawing of that prize plus another prize. The back side is 3 and 4. You get the drift. Each prize or combination of prizes grants you a special ability that's either passive or active.
Okay.
Passive might allow you, you know, it would just be a status effect always happening. Active would mean you'd have to activate it. So how would you do that? Well, you got this grid in front of you, right? And this is how you set up the grid. It's a 4x3 grid. The first card on the top left is face up. The next card is face down. The next card is face up. The next card is face down. Now below that, we just shift it over and do the same thing. So it's basically the opposite, right? So what you end up with is this zigzag pattern of cards that are face up and face down, okay? If you want to use a card, use the power on a card, because each card of these cards has an action on it. Now that action may say win a prize, or that action may say trade in four prizes for the grand prize. So to win the game, you actually have to perform one of the actions out there, right? And on your turn, you're going to get to flip one card over. Some of the cards say use the ability on your prize, your current prize level that you have. Some of the other ones allow you to manipulate the game state a little, but actually the abilities of your prizes are really what more lets you manipulate the game state a little more. So when I flip over a card to activate it, so say I pick one of the center cards that's face down, I flip it over, every card that's around that is going to flip over.
Okay.
Now, when I say every card that's around that, I mean just orthogonally, because I don't want to jack the entire board every time. So if I flip a card, the card above it, below it, left and right are going to flip over to the opposite side. Now, if that is... if they're face up, they go face down and vice versa. The only card that actually activates is the one that I chose, right?
Okay.
So you're trying to do two things. One, you're trying to flip over the good stuff that you want to get to.
Yeah.
But two, you're trying to keep the stuff you don't want your opponent to get to face up, right? Is that...
Because he needs to flip it from face down to face up in order to use it.
Right.
Got it.
So you can do some pretty interesting things with it by locking. You know, like you can actually lock the first row, say, the first column.
Yeah.
To where somebody would have to take two moves to be able to clear that open again. So... So what I like about that is, as you're using these abilities, and you're flipping these cards, the grand prize winner. So if I get to where I'm in first place and I've got four prizes, there's an instant catch up mechanic built in, because pretty much everyone can stop me from getting to that grand prize thing. But then once somebody else is getting close, now two of us are going for it. One of us is probably going to get it.
Yeah.
And then the prize powers, I call them prize perks, that you can use. Those do things like one of them, all the first level ones all have to do with speeding up the game. So like the one says, if you use this, win a prize. So basically I could flip a win a prize card, or I could just flip a powers perk card and boom, I get to gain a level. Mm-hmm. The one guys says, if everyone else is higher level than you, win a prize, right? So he's just catching up. At the highest level, they're more powerful, but they also are limiting based on, you know, they aren't helpful to make you win. They're helpful maybe to hold off people. Like the one guy's is lose a prize to take two actions instead of one. So if he can combo that, that could help him win, but his card doesn't help him speed to first place as quickly to try and balance it out. So I tried one game of it, and it worked all right.
Oh, you even protoed this already?
Yeah, I did. Okay. It was 16 cards. It was super easy to proto.
Okay.
So I played it with two other people, and it was all right. Yeah, I mean, it needs some tweaks. I'm not sure. There's not a ton of design space there, right?
Yeah.
With 16 cards and kind of using that grid pattern. So yeah, any suggestions or thoughts?
So every power that you have when you flip a card, when you reveal a card face up, is something that could affect cards adjacent to that card.
No, so most of them say there's 12 total. Three of them say win a prize.
Okay.
One of them say everyone wins a prize. One says the player to your left loses a prize. One says the player to your right loses a prize. One says everyone loses a prize. That's a rigged game. Everybody loses a prize. There's one that says the player with the least amount of prizes, the player, parentheses, S, player, players, with the least amount of prizes all win a prize. So there's some, can be some teamwork in there, right? Like if there's two of us in last place, and I flip that one over, we're both going to get a prize.
Yeah.
But there's also a slight memory aspect to it, because some of those cards are face down. You don't know what they are. So There's one card that lets you shuffle cards around so that the face down cards, so you can't tell what the face down cards are doing. One of the powers lets you turn some more cards face up to try and block people from using them and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So I think,
and then you talked about locking cards.
Well, it just meaning like, so if you've got four columns, if there's a card in that, if the cards in the first two columns are all face up, logically, you can't affect column one until you've made it an opening in column two. Do you follow me with that? So, like, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 columns, right? And 1, 2, 3 cards in each.
Yeah.
So, if column one, all three cards are face up. Column two, all three cards are face up. If I don't have a way on my turn, I have no way to use any cards in column one.
So, you can only flip a card that's face down.
Correct.
Okay, I didn't follow that. Okay, so you can't, if a card is face up, you can't flip it back to face down.
Correct.
Okay, and you have to have some power that allows you to do that.
Well, to flip a card, so if there's a card, say I've got a card in the center, card above it is face up, card to the right is face up, card below it is face down, card to its left is face down, the card in the center is face down.
Mm-hmm.
I flip the card over, now the card at the top is face down. Because it flips over.
Oh, so, okay.
So every card around it flips over.
Flips back.
So, like, I can show you with some cards here.
Well, let's build.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to explain to you to make sure you understand. So, like, if I did this one, right? If this is, say, this is face down, right? So I flip it over. These all flip. Doesn't matter what side they're on, they go to the opposite side they were on.
So every time so just to recap that for the builders. So if I have a card that is face down, if I flip it over, everything orthogonally adjacent to it will automatically flip the other way.
Correct.
Whether it's already face up or face down.
Right.
Okay, got
so
it.
So the way I originally had it was, only cards would only flip to face down. So if they're already face down, they didn't flip to face up, but there wasn't as much strategy in that.
Yeah.
There's a lot more strategy if I can purposely take a crappy card just to block you from getting the card you need.
Yeah. So I think there's space in there. I mean, if you have some way to flip two cards in a round some way, you know, or flip one card without flipping everything adjacent to it, you
that's,
know.
There's actually the one person's level four prize perk is you may choose to not flip adjacent cards when flipping a card.
Okay.
So.
Okay. You could even have arrows printed on the card, so when you flip them, you only flip again the cards that the arrows point to. And you could all have other powers that allow you to, like, to turn cards 90 degrees, 180 degrees to change the directions of those arrows.
Right there. Fist bump.
Yeah. Dab.
That's good.
Yeah.
That is some design space right there.
Yeah. I think, there's plenty of options in there.
I like that. And that kind of feels carnival-y, the idea.
Yeah,
of, like,
right. Things are spinning and, you know, stuff. Right, yeah.
Dude, that's really good.
Yeah. I think this is a cool idea. I would like to try this with you.
Sweet. Well, let me put some arrows on stuff.
Yeah.
And then we'll try it. Because I really like that.
Yeah.
Because that...
And then if you're spinning cards even 90 degrees, then everything's going to end up at different angles. So it's going to require a little more space on the tabletop.
Well, I don't even think... I think it could just be flip... You could turn the card 180.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, if you just did square cards, you wouldn't have to worry about that. You can change it, flip them any which way you want. Spin them any way you want. You can have arrows on the face and arrows on the back that point in different directions, if that matters to you at all. You know?
That's a good point.
And then then you're thinking about, and if you have a square card and the card backs don't have any specific correct way up, once it's face down, obviously which way you flip it when you reveal the face is going to matter. But if the backs, you can't tell which way is up and down, and it's a square card, then you're just going to flip it, and you might... If you're really good at remembering which way it was flipped down, you know, you can probably turn it the right way, but...
Right.
Know.
Good point. Anyway. Good point.
It might be a great one for square cards, come to think
of it. That's really smart. I like that. Good thinking.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Hey, I'm not smart enough for physics, but I do okay with basic card games.
Yeah. Awesome. Sweet. Well, that is my pitch.
I dig that. Carnival Chaos, yeah, it's pretty chaotic. I think that name fits.
Well, especially if you start to add in the idea of arrows and stuff flipping around and stuff.
Totally.
We do have one comment on the website.
Okay.
That we'd hit up in this first episode.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up now. The comment is from Tom Gerganis.
Hey, Tom,
that
thank
I remember because I. This drives me nuts. So because we kept getting spammed, thanks spammers. You're not listening to the show, so it doesn't matter. I had to go ahead and alter the way that people log into the website. So now you're actually required to do a math equation every time you log in, and it's simple. It's like what is 1 × 9, or 1 × blank = 9. You know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's just a CAPTCHA thing, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But it frustrates the crap out of me now every time because I can't, like, my rhythm of logging in has changed. It makes me so mad. And we still get spam comments. Okay. Yeah. Tom Grigana says, hey guys, just a quick comment. I like Control very much.
Yay.
You've got a real gem there.
Cool.
Good news. We've talked about that again recently, and we, I think, let's record a bonus episode about that.
Yeah,
let's record
that
a bonus episode about that.
Yeah, one day on lunch at work or something.
Yeah, it'll be fun next week. So look for that, guys. You've got a real gem there, he says. Thank you, Tom. The Lumberjack game is also very intriguing. I imagine it as having an infection versus body theme, but the sawmill idea would work too. That is gross.
Super gross.
Yeah. It actually kind of sounds like something you would design. That sounds like something Rob from 3 years ago would design.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you had plenty of gross games. You had a game where the whole point was like carnival food or something. You were trying not to puke.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair food. Yeah.
Right. Fair food. That's what it was.
Yeah.
You also had one.
I still think that was an okay idea.
It's just kind of gross. You also had one about cutting fingers off.
Yeah.
And you also had one about the Filth Ranch.
Oh, the Filth Ranch was still one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, clean.
You should look at some of those old games and then try and put themes on them that aren't disgusting.
Oh, but I like the disgusting themes.
Anyways, Tom says, I'm enjoying the show a lot. Thanks for it. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate it. So that's all I have.
Man, we haven't had a voicemail in a long time.
Yeah, somebody give us a voicemail.
Come on, guys.
I promise we play the next voicemail that we get no matter what you say on it.
No matter, well, we might bleep a little bit, but we promise to play it.
Yeah.
So whatever it is. The full unedited voicemail with the exception of bleeping out any profanity.
So, hey, so funny story before we go. So today I sent a G-chat message to Neil, Neil Roberts, and said, Neil, hey, can you read the rules for the BTG CCG and the card text? I need some comments on them. By the way, now there's like 150 comments on them, so I need to go look at those tonight. But his first response is, well, based on the nice stuff you said about me on the rules app, I guess I kind of have to, don't I?
Yes, you do.
So yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
yes,
you do.
You do. Right. Yeah, but you don't have
a choice.
I thought
that was funny.
That's great.
So yeah, it was funny. I haven't had Neil look at rules in a while because I haven't had rules to be looked at in a while, and I forgot just how much he hacks them up. And he also puts insults in there too. Like, I had 2 spaces after a period, and he put really 2 spaces. Really?
Oh, yeah. I do that. Some terrible English teacher I had in elementary school taught me to always hit space twice after a period.
Because that's when we were in elementary school. That was the rule.
That was the rule. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my wife just berates me constantly for that kind of stuff.
You can. It's still legit to do that. Like, it's not against the rules. I bet within 5 to 10 years it will be against the rules.
Yeah.
Back, you know, at that point when no one knows how to write cursive anymore.
Yeah.
But nobody cares because, you know.
No, nobody cares about cursive.
Cursive writing is stupid.
Yeah. I knew it was stupid in third grade when I was being forced to learn it.
Yep.
And I learned it enough so I could pass those tests and never again.
Said the same thing about geometry.
Yeah.
Unless you need to be an astronaut, in which case geometry is super important.
I kind of enjoyed doing proofs in geometry.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I was the kid, you know, like side, angle, side. And
yeah.
I was the kid who always be like, what about angle, side, side?
Yeah, that's not very funny.
You get it? It spells a swear word.
I know. I get it.
Anyways.
Yeah.
And every year some schmuck would say that, but I was the schmuck that year.
Yeah, that time. Right.
So... Yeah.
Oh, math.
Anyways.
Anyway, okay. That's all we got.
That's all we got.
All right. So. Thanks, everybody, as always, for listening. We appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to give us a voicemail, give us a call at 770-TEL-BTG or record something on your own home computer and email it to that email address. You can follow us on Twitter at podcastBTG. Jason is at J.A. Slingerland. I'm at poorly_designed. Like us on Facebook. Leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave comments on our website at buildingthegamepodcast.com. Also on the the website, you can find links to our games, Water Balloon Washout, the Rumplebum Academy for Bug Based Baking, and finish it, the Outrageous Storytelling Party Game. And we'll be back again next week with more of this stupid crap. Is there going to be beer next week?
Yes, there is.
Oh, right. That's great.
I was just thinking about how we should be drinking beer right
yes,
now.
Yes, beer next week. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
All right.
The deep, rich sounds.